continuing with Ephesians, I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We stopped in the middle of a verse, middle of a sentence last time, but we're going to connect that together and see why we did that as we look at this tonight. It's Ephesians chapter, excuse me just a second. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm reading verse 11 to 16. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful picture that you've given of your church. We've looked at the fact that it is a body that you have begun to build, a temple where you to dwell, and a body. We know there are passages in the Bible that emphasize and enlarge on that great fact, and we see that before us here. Will you help us? Will you give us your Holy Spirit? Would you teach us? Would you impress us with the truth that you have for us tonight? Would you grant your Holy Spirit that your word will have power in our lives, that our thinking will be affected by the things we consider together tonight? We thank you for your word. Thank you for the many purposes that you accomplished through it. Do that tonight, we pray. You said that your word would not return unto you void, but would accomplish the thing whereto you sent it. Would you send it forth tonight, Lord? And would you accomplish your purpose for us tonight under the sound of your word? Speak to us, Lord. Help us now, we pray, and grant us your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We really broke off this the last time at the halfway through verse 12. We looked at the fact that God had foundational gifts that he gave to his church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, there to establish the church at the beginning, before the word of God was written. There was a need for direct revelation of God. Paul needed that. And of course, he wrote his letters and they were circulated. When you got a letter as a church, you sent it on, but first you copied it so that you'd have your own version. And so it would be as you grow, you get more and more information. But during that time, there were need for things that we don't need today. The Bible wasn't complete, wasn't perfect, wasn't everything that God intended it to be. And so you needed the apostles to reveal your God's truth, prophets to declare things that were specific, needed at the time, evangelists, that multitudes might be brought to Christ. It was a remarkable time. And we looked at the fact that those were foundational gifts that God gave to his church. It says Christ ascended on high and gave gifts to men. Interesting to see the way in which that text is quoted. In the Old Testament, where it's quoted, is ascended on high and received gifts from men. And Paul turns it around in his quoting of it in a very interesting way. God gave gifts. Christ gave gifts to men, and he mentions the foundational ones that established the church. But then another reason we say they're foundational is that there's no means in the Bible to transfer those gifts. You can't discern the gifts and find whose God is raising up to be an apostle. There's no qualifications for an apostle. God calls an apostle. Paul was the last of the apostles. So you don't find apostleship continuing in the New Testament church. You don't find evangelists in the way that they were in the early church, and you don't find prophets now. They're not continued. But there is a position, maybe this is a hyphenated one, that is continued in the church, and it's called pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers are the gift that God continued for the church. And so we noted that he talked about pastors and teachers, and he said the purpose for which they were given, and that's what we want to launch off from today. They were given to prepare God's people for the works of service. That the works of service that are to be accomplished in the church are done not by pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers equip the saints for the works of service. And that's the real key idea that is so powerful in this passage. Pastors and teachers are given to prepare God's people for works of service. The work of building the church is done by the people of God. That's the thrust of what he has. He tells what God's doing in your life. How is he going to do it? He's going to do it by the people of God. Is he going to do it fundamentally and basically by pastors? Well, you'll be able to hear messages, and messages will help you very much. But the biggest job of building the church is done by the members of the church. A church has a life because there are people who know Christ and help one another in the knowledge of God. As we think about it, you'll see that your words of encouragement mean more than you thought they did. You kind of thought of your own involvement in somebody's life as periphery, not really as crucial as sitting under the preaching of the gospel. But you know, maybe that your words of encouragement were more powerful and more significant than you realized. You may look back and see the things that affected me in life most specifically. It's true, I can remember wonderful messages, and they were greatly useful to me. But the thing that brought the gospel home to me was then that dear soul sat there with me and talked. And I opened my heart, and they heard me. And they encouraged me, and they gave me some advice, and the Lord brought me to Christ. And probably you were saved not by the mighty outpouring of the Spirit under the preaching of God's word. You're probably saved by some dear friend who cared enough to care for your soul and to challenge you and to speak to you honestly, urge you to come to Christ. Probably that's the way you came to Christ. Now, I was part of Billy Graham Crusades 50 years ago, and Madison Square Garden, Shea Stadium, Billy Graham Crusades, where there's a point where the gospel goes forth and people are called to come forward, and it's dramatically wonderful. I think if you think too much about it or you evaluate it all theologically, you might have a problem, but I wasn't in that position. And as you stood in the back of Madison Square Garden and the invitation goes and the people go forward, emotionally, it just moves your heart and tears go down your eyes. It's beautiful. But even the Billy Graham Crusades, how did they really minister? They made it a point that there were counselors trained and prepared at the edge of every seat. Every pew had counselors trained and prepared. And when somebody went forward with them. That was their rule. That was their requirement. I was on the staff in such a way to know this is what they do. So you know that half the people that go forward are counselors who have been stationed there to help them. Why would they do that? Well, because that's the way God's going to work in their heart. Somebody caring about them, somebody listening to them, somebody hearing what they're saying, and somebody sharing. And even though all have been under the preaching, it isn't that that has transformed the soul. That's called people forward, but it's the thing, it's the person next to them that they would believe is the primary source in touching the lives of people. It wasn't the mighty preaching. It was someone reaching out with love and being concerned. And probably that's the way you came. Maybe you were under the powerful preaching sometime and mightily moved to go forward, but maybe that happened. Probably somebody was there to talk to you, to help you. You didn't just go forward and walk away again. Somebody's there because God intends somebody to be used in the ministry that applies the word of God to the souls of people. And it may be that your word of encouragement meant more than you thought it did. It may be your sympathizing ear counted for much more in maturing the faith of somebody than the preaching of God's word. Even one of the best preachers heard on a disc of some kind. may not have had the power that your word of encouragement had in actually doing the work in people's life. It may be that your challenge to his personal life was the turning point in his really serving God. Messages were very important, and they certainly helped everybody to think more clearly. But when you got to know somebody and spoke to them and challenged them, pointed out areas of inconsistency, even with some trepidation, said things that needed to be said, they were exactly what God wanted to use to straighten that person's life out, to change them, to have them affected. It was not simply the mighty preaching of God's word. Pastors and teachers, all of them may not be incredibly gifted with wonderful ability like the apostles. They may preach quite ordinary messages, but if they preach the truth, God will strengthen his people to be ready to reach out to others and to encourage them and to help them. That book that you gave someone that changed his life, who knew to give that book to them? Why did they get that book at that time? Why did you get the book at your time, in your life, that book at that time that changed your life? Why did you get that? Did God drop it down from heaven and have it open at the right page in front of you? I guess because we know God can do anything, I suppose he could do that, but he's not likely to do that. And he's not going to do that. What he's going to do is put on your heart the sharing of something. And that person is going to be reached because of you. That's the point that Paul is emphasizing here. The preachers, pastors, prepare God's people for works of service. Pastors prepare you to reach out to others. That conference that you went to with that person, you urged them to go. You thought it would be good for them. And the conference was good, and the messages were good, but the best part was that you went with them, talked to them, encouraged them, discussed the issue, made it real. Maybe somebody took you to a conference. Changed your life. What changed your life? The powerful preaching of God's word. Well, that was very important. It was very valuable. What reached you? Someone reaching. Probably. Now, there may be some that are here that's not the case, that it wasn't that somebody was significant. But very often, that's exactly what God uses. Your personal ministry was God's means of conforming that life to the image of Christ, at least in one area. It was your ministry that reached them and helped them. Well, that's the kind of thing God's talking about when he says that the pastors and teachers are to prepare God's people. To prepare, well, look at verse 11. It was he who gave and mentioned to the others some pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ will be built up. How will the body of Christ be built up? God's people doing works of service so that the body of Christ will be built up. It's not that he gave pastors and teachers to preach mighty messages so that the body of Christ would be built up. You're leaving something out. He God's people to pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach to the unity of the faith. Talks about what God's doing in your life. And we're going to look at that in a moment. What is it that God will give you? What does he intend to do with you? He's going to save you and conform you to the image of Christ. And of course, if Jesus comes tomorrow, all of us will need to be changed in the twinkling of an eye and will be in the image of Christ. But if God tarries, he's going to be working in us to conform us to the image of Christ. How will he do that? Through pastors and teachers? Well, yes. But what about fellowship with others who are struggling with the same problems? What about the conversations that people can have for? How about the personal experiences that people can share where God really helped them in that situation? How about the books that have been written by people who've been through terrible times, but God helped them? And so you read the book. Maybe you hear about the book on Focus on the Family or Family Life Today, and you get the book and read it, and you see, that's amazing what God did in that person's life. And it encourages you to trust them in the same way. Many people touched in such a way. It's not that somehow we're at a terrible stage in the church, and so we've got things that take the place of the preaching of God's word. No. God raises up many things, people in his church experiencing God in ways that help us. And sometimes they write a book that helps us, and sometimes they appear in a radio broadcast that helps us, and sometimes they give a testimony that helps us, because they've come to know the reality of God, and it gives the hope with somebody else that they can come to know the reality of God too. And throughout the whole church, the biggest part of the work of God is helped wonderfully by the pastors and teachers. But the real work is done as people who care for people reach out to try to help them. And that's the point. And what are they seeking to help them to do? Well, let's look at verse 14. When this is accomplished, well, let's not skip anything. They may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith. What brings us together in a unity of the faith? A bunch of people agreeing. A bunch of people seeing it and helping others to see it, bringing us to a unity of the faith. That's what God's going to do through people, works of service. Built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. How are you going to know God in a personal way, better what he does and how he's working? Well, probably because somebody will tell you, somebody more mature that you appreciate can help you and say, I went through that. I know what that is. You know how God helped me? And people that can give testimony of what God's done for them, wonderfully powerful in bringing people to the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature. And it speaks of attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The goal is that we should attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And God has given to that end, of course, apostles and prophets and evangelists, of course that, and pastors and teachers to equip the saints to reach one another for Christ. He gives pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. What you do is more important than you realized. It's not a little periphery thing that would be better if it were done through the preaching of God's word. No, it's supposed to be done by the ministry of God's people. It leads people to maturity in Christ. Look at verse 14. Then we will be no longer infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. How does a person get so they're not blown away all the time? You've known people who have never connected themselves with the church, and so they bop around, and they're their own pastor, and they bop around. Do they ever really grow? Do they ever attain stability? Are they ever solid? Or are they always a little unsteady, and you never know for sure where they're going to be? You never know what one influence or other will accomplish in them. The thing that will establish them and bless them is being connected with the church and people that care. So they're no longer infants. They don't always. When I think of infants, I think of people that are maybe Down syndrome or some other thing that limits their capacity. And when they smile and are happy, it warms your heart. And you're so glad to see the smile and the blessing that's there. But underneath it all is a sadness that there's so much that they can't have, so much they can't understand. You're happy to see them happy. But there's so much that you sort of feel inside. God understands, God can make it up to them. Your own heart is rejoicing to see them happy, but sad at the same time that there's so much they can't enjoy. Well, I've seen Christians like that. I think they're Christians. They're happy in Jesus. But there's so much they don't see. There's so much that they don't conceive. There's so much that they haven't come to yet. And sometimes it's been because they're very happy in Jesus, but they never get connected with people that really help them to get stable. And so much as I like to see any sign of happiness in Jesus, I'm so long to see a maturity and a strength. And I've often, well, when I've seen those that are happy in Jesus but have no strength and maturity, it's often because of a lack of proper connection with other Christians. They're on their own, and they have a good time, but there's much more. And so the idea of not being tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. There's also people that deceive, cults that come along. How are you kept from that? Well, it talks about cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. How do you keep from that? Well, one way you're likely to keep is somebody who sees the danger and says, do you know that group teaches? Do you know what's going on? And helps you to see it and be kept from it and makes you to see how to evaluate what's right. Can you say that people are teaching the Word of God simply because they say they are? Or is there some way to check according to the Word whether what the people are teaching is from the Word of God? Well, how will they discern it? Very often a friend who loves Jesus and loves them wants to help them see, rescue them from the deceitful schemings of men that will lead them astray. Very likely it will be a person that will rescue them, using the Word of God, and because He cares for them, helping them. And you may have been instrumental in helping some who would have gone very far astray, but God in His mercy drew near to you, drew near to them through you. And God in His mercy helped them to see the danger through you. And you were used to help them not to be vulnerable to every influence, because they've come in contact with the stability that they appreciate. And they associate with it because of your friendliness and your kindness. Look at verse 15. Instead of being vulnerable and open to all kinds of deceitful scheming, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. That in the speaking the truth in love, we grow up. Now that's not saying when they hear good messages from the Word, and especially if they get them, the really top preachers on CDs, they're really going to grow up into the head, which is Christ. Well, it's speaking the truth in love. There's a life within, people caring for each other, that He has in mind. He's not saying these people need to be under better teaching. Well, that's true. But they need a church, people that love God, who reach out. At least that is what Paul is talking about, because he says that pastors are to prepare God's people for works of service, delivered from the instability, the vulnerability, deceitful scheming, instead speaking the truth in love, actually growing to the point they know the truth and they can speak it. Speaking the truth in love, growing up into Christ, who is Him who is the head, that is Christ. And from Him, the whole body joined together, growing up in Christ. Paul talks about being babes in Christ, ought to be farther along. The writer to Hebrews says, there are many things I would have taught you, but you're still too young, you can't get it. People need to grow up in Christ. People need to mature. People need to understand better. They need help, and they're helped by wonderful messages, true. But the pastor doesn't do it all. It's the people who are encouraging somebody because they care about them, encourages somebody to grow up in Christ. And in that you can think, well, I don't know that I've done that for anybody, but I'm very happy, very thankful for that one that did that for me. And you may look back and say, where would I have been if it hadn't been for so-and-so? Where would I have been if she had not called me? Well, taking the time, you may be able to say, who was it that actually helped me enormously? Who was the one that guided me, taught me? A lot of that was done for me by Bob Morey, who's in heaven today. He was a wonderful teacher. But you know what helped me most? It was knowing him as a friend. We shared a apartment together for a time in New York. I thought I could help him socially and he could help me theologically. He helped me wonderfully theologically. I didn't make much headway with helping him socially. He always had social adjustments that hindered him. I did my best. I didn't do very much good for him socially, but he sure did help me theologically and in walk with God. And he taught very well. He was a good preacher. But it was him that was a friend to me at an important time. And you may have that, somebody who, being a friend to you at an important time, made all the difference. or made a lot of difference. Not all the difference, because different people supply different things. One person doesn't supply at all. If you've got one person that is the reason for your spiritual well-being, I think you're in trouble. Because I don't think it should be that way. That's not the picture here. It's every joint supplying, which we go on to. Instead, speaking the truth in love, will all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's why I say, if there's one person that's the reason why you're strong in the Lord, I think you're still in need. No, it's a context of people, the church, people of God, reaching out to encourage one another, so that your friendliness with one another, your talking about some need, you're giving testimony about what God meant to you in that situation, may have been much more significant in their life than you realized. You might have thought it was mainly their being under the preaching that made them solid. Well, very thankful they were under the preaching. But very likely, the reason you're solid is because God enabled a person to draw near, help you. That's the way it seems to be that Paul is talking about here, and it's really quite wonderful. It's what God desires for the church, and it's what he brings about by your involvement in the lives of other Christians. Sometimes we look at radio programs that have people's testimony as if, well, they were a secondary means. Their people ought to be coming to church and hearing messages regularly. Well, they should be coming to church and they should be hearing messages. Maybe that message, that program, was much more significant in the lives of some people than you'd ever realize. Because it was human beings who know Christ expressing their own help from Christ in the midst of very difficult circumstances. And you realize it encouraged you that you can trust in Christ and Christ will help you. And maybe it isn't just a mark of what's wrong with the church today, that we're depending on parachurch organizations. Those people are Christians. And they have a means whereby they can reach you with the way Christ spoke to them. Excuse me. How can I help other Christians come to the full measure of Christ? How can I help other Christians to gain stability in Jesus? How can I help other Christians to avoid spiritual scams? How can I help other Christians to speak the truth in love? How can I help them to grow up into Christ? How can I supply what I can? How can they supply what they can to the encouragement of others? My water. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I won't be long. No, I had it right here, but I have lost it. It doesn't matter. I will get through this. The point is asking, for us to ask, how can I help somebody actually mature in one of those areas? What has God opened up that I can help them be more stable, more insulated against error? Thank you very much, Chair. What can I do to actually be an instrument in God's hands to help a person be a better Christian? Is that really all that important? I think what Paul is saying says it is very important. Far more important than you realized. And when you think back of the many influences that made you what you are, it will probably be great messages you've heard somewhere. Maybe it's a pastor you really liked. But probably the thing that reached you was the body of Christ. People ministering one to another. And we can ask the question, can I be in that? Can I do that for somebody else? Am I able to be an instrument in God's hands for that end? I'm not going to use this paper. I've got a paper with 59 things on it. I think it's 59. Yes, 59 things on it. I am not going to go through the 59 things. What I'm going to say is, this is just on the internet saying one another references in the New Testament. And the particular website came up with 59 one another's. It's what we do one for another. And actually, Ray Stedman, a long time ago, wrote a book on one anothering. And actually, I preached on that for a series one time, a long time ago, on one anothering. Because there's so many texts that say, this is what we do for one another. And in this case, 59 references to how we minister one to another. Well, maybe that's because that's the way God does it. That's the way God makes the church what it needs to be. That's the way God uses you, not just when you get a chance to preach. Although wonderful when you get a chance to preach, it means a lot to us. But what will really be powerful in your life will be the life of the body, encouraging and helping one another. And as you think about that, you may realize and remember thousands of ways in which you are what you are because of the people of God. Well, those are the ideas that are before us, and we can say, well, how can I do these things? How can this be a part of my life to encourage others? I mean, I preach, but is that really the most important thing? It's valuable and helpful to the people, I'm sure. Is that the most important thing? Or is the most important thing what you do? I mean, in the life of an individual, is what you do most important? Is your caring, your heart of concern, is that what really matters? Is that how God is really working? Is he more likely to work through you than he is through the preacher, given that circumstance at that moment? Is that what God did in your life at a certain moment, at a certain period, at a certain time? Was it someone who loved Jesus who helped you? Well, those are the things that it seems that God is speaking about. And we have there 59 one anothering passages because God challenges us to help one another. Well, you can thank God for the way in which he used somebody else in your life. And then be encouraged. What you do means more than you realize. It may be the very means that God is purposing to make them like Jesus in that area. It may have a much bigger significance than you tend to think. Well, may God cause us to think about when we look at this passage. I'll finish with the last words. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge. We thank you for the reminder. We thank you for the reminder of individual influences in our lives that came not simply because we heard a wonderful message, but because somebody cared about us and helped us to think through our circumstances and relate them to Jesus. Thank you for those whose example encouraged us to press on. Thank you for one whose cheerfulness lifted us. Thank you, Lord, for the way in which you did a work in our lives through that individual who took the time to bother with us. We thank you, Lord, for the way you use one another. And would you lift our vision to help one another, to grow into all the things you want to be true in our lives, a maturity in Christ. May we be instruments in one another's lives. We thank you for your love and ask your blessing tonight in Jesus' name.